Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Buchanan Report, this 19th day of November, 2019. My name is Ivan Buchanan, and I am your host, and my co-host, as always, Ron Hanks and Rhonda Moon Lane. If you're joining us for the first time, our call-in number is 347-857-1710. Again, that number, 347-857-1710. Our guest tonight is Christina Thundefill, regarding burn pit illnesses and VA policy regarding the same. Boy, we just had somebody drop out there, Ron. I guess Ron is having a little bit of trouble there. I told her as soon as I got done, we're going right to her. What does she do? She waits right till I get to where and she drops out. Thanks.
Lift up the side door.
Yeah, there she is again. There you go, Rhonda. Hey,
sorry.
Thanks a lot. I told you as soon as I got done, I was going to you. You waited till I got done and you drop out on me? What's going on here?
I know. Well, I went to adjust my Bluetooth because you said you couldn't hear me. And apparently there's a button to hang up. I did not know was there. Now I know.
Oh. All right, yes. Well, before I turn it over to you, I want to remind everyone that our Veterans News Alerts are now on the VA Corruption by the Buchanan Report Facebook group page. We've been doing that for some time, but I just want to keep putting it out there. So, all right, that's it for me. Rhonda, what do you got besides a Bluetooth that you're just getting to know?
Well, I actually have two because I decided I would go back to normal and find another one while you were talking. The United States Postal Service is going to have... Oh, does it? See, so I adjusted it.
Good.
All right. They're going to have military dog stamps this year.
Yeah.
It says 2019, but I'm... Really?
Yeah.
Well, it is from February 2019. Why is this just now coming up? All right, I'm going to have to go buy those stamps. Obviously, I wasn't listening.
Okay.
All right. My next one. I got to go get some of those stamps.
You said you only had one.
I know. I told you I lied.
Oh.
I have two.
That's the wrong
one. All right. See, I am back to normal. My other one is actually bad news. It always is. I can't find anything positive. The walking veteran, Thomas Hudson. But that's been like a couple of years ago when he was doing his walk, right? At least two. He walked across.
Right. We had him on the show.
Yeah. Yes. Well, apparently, this is on Veteran. I don't know much about them, so I'm not going to quote them, but I'm just going to let you know what they're saying. He is in the Jackson Montgomery VA in Muskogee, Oklahoma, and he says they are neglecting him. Says he needs surgery. He's in severe pain. They won't give him pain medication. Apparently, he has a tumor in his pancreas, along with an infection in both legs. He started out at the emergency room there, lab work. Now they're sending him for surgery in urology. So, I don't know. We just need to pray for him. They have actually found some more tumors, it says, down at the back of his tongue. So it doesn't sound very good, but I'm sure he would appreciate lots of prayers. And hopefully they give him some pain medicine. You know, when he was doing his walk across the country, he had to stop a couple times for medical issues. So I think this has just gone on from there. But he's having a lot of, he says they're not treating him right, which we all know that happens a lot. So prayers. I will share this on the VA Corruption with the Buchanan Report so you guys can see it. It says he's got cellulitis in his legs. That is the top misdiagnosed issue at VA that results in having amputations. So hopefully it didn't go too long and they can treat him. That's all I had.
Okay. I've got a few, mostly involving the western slope of Colorado. It's that time of year again, the Western Slope Patriot Guard riders and the wreaths across America are looking for sponsors
yes.
for their wreath. They need a total of $2,500 for the Veterans Memorial Cemetery and for Western Colorado, and another $1,420 for the Orchard Mesa Cemetery. They're only $15 each to sponsor one. And you don't have to live here to do it. You can contact them. So,
and actually, they're collecting here, too. So I would look in your local area, and
yeah.
you can probably help in your local area.
Well, this is the local one here. They do it every year. My next one is a story I picked up out of the Sunday paper. This man who lived in Parachute, you remember where Parachute is, don't you, Ivan?
Yeah.
Up there on I-70, yeah. He just passed away at the age of 90. He was the last remaining survivor from the Hindenburg.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was 8 years old at the time. He and his brother... His mother threw them both out of the cabin as it was going down there at the Lickers
wow.
Naval Air Station in New Jersey. Suffered
right.
severe burns to his face and arms and legs. And they did an interview with his son. And he would never talk about it. I guess 2018, he was still living there in Parachute. And... his father took him back to the naval station where it happened to a memorial, and it was the only time he ever spoke about it. He died in Laconia. I guess he stayed out there when he took him back there. He died in the 8th of November. So, didn't know there was anybody still left. His whole family, other than him and his brothers.
Yeah.
Perished in that fire when it came down. And my last one is my phone or doorbell, and Frank beat me to the door, even though it wasn't for him. went off, and there was a lady standing there. She was part of a local quilting group, and she presented me with a quilt. She said they've been doing this for veterans. It's a beautiful quilt, red, white, and blue stars, and then there's an occasional patch in there that's nothing but a series of American flags. I mean, just something they do, I guess, that I'd never even known about. I don't know how they even learned about me. I mean, but yeah, that was quite a surprise today.
Yep.
And Christina is here now. So.
All right.
Cool.
Our guest tonight is Christina Thundethill. Christina is a U.S. Army veteran. She was deployed to Kuwait during the Iraq War. Following a rape, she was discharged under honorable conditions, but for misconduct. After the Army concluded there was no rape and she had made it all up. She was then sent home where she had further issues getting VA health care, but she did succeed in getting her record corrected. Her discharge, it got her care at the VA for illnesses, but now she's been doing a lot of research on burn pits. Hi, Christina. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, good.
Okay. Can you fill us in any of the highlights I may have missed? And let's go into your medical issues and all the research you've been doing.
Okay, I think you summarized it pretty well.
Okay,
went
good.
Basic. I deployed. I got kicked out. 2005, my discharge was corrected. So I went through other hurdles that actually weren't necessary. But, yeah. So in 2010, I was at Oklahoma City VA, and I got a call telling me I wasn't a veteran anymore. And I was like, how'd that happen?
Surprise.
And so I went without health care for 2 years and 1 month. And during that time period, I knew something was wrong. So outside neurologists had diagnosed me with complex partial seizures. But the VA said, no, you're faking it.
Yes, I am.
A regular faker. And so so I got my health care back, and something was still off. But I didn't know about burn pits or particulate matter or, like, anything. I was still in my 20s, early 30s, and I was still pretty naive. So when me and my husband came to Florida, the twitching in my face started back, and I lost a lot of weight. I'm 6'2", and I went from like 230 pounds down to 198. And
wow.
Yeah, I was coughing up blood. I couldn't breathe. And so the VA is like, oh, you have a lesion in your brainstem. And I'm like, what? They're like, yeah, it's been there for a really long time. We don't know when, but it wasn't there in 2010. But we think you've had a minor stroke in your brainstem, and that's why you have brain damage in your pon, actually. They're like, we can't cut it out. We can't do anything but, you know, control the symptoms. So I was put on migraine prophylactic, which included needles in my skull. Doesn't even really bother me anymore. But I contacted the War-Related Illness Center in Washington. And they told my primary care doctor to check my lungs. So I was 37 years old when I started going through that. The VA came back with that I had moderate to severe damage to my lungs. And then after that, everything else went downhill. So for 3 years, they said that I had like mild, like two small scars in my lungs. And then that was it. And I believed them. But I didn't understand why when I would get a common head cold, it would take me like 6 weeks to get over it. And it included coughing up blood. So all of my pulmonary function scores started to decline faster than what they had thought. So at some point, me and my husband, we got fed up with the VA. So we went to outside specialists that would be willing to go up against the Department of Veterans Affairs. Because believe it or not, VA says they want to help veterans, but they're really bullies. And I know that firsthand. So we went to Mayo Clinic, and Mayo Clinic is like, yeah, this is an asthma, and there's small scars. It's a little more complicated than that. They're like, my MRIs are consistent with small vessel disease in the brain. That's why, like, now I have more than one lesion on my brain because of this disease, but the VA didn't catch it in time. And so Mayo Clinic's like, we're going to put you on these bronchodilators. And I was like, okay. And so I followed up with them, and they spoke about Dr. Robert Miller. Dr. Robert Miller, I heard from other people about burn pits, and they're like, this is the guy you need to go to. He'll give it to you straight, and he won't give you any crap. I'm like, fine.
Right.
Me and my husband, we drove from Orlando all the way to Tennessee. And so he's like, yeah, this is not asthma. He pulled up the CT scan that the VA did, and he said, you see this air trapping, you see this webbing here, you have ground glass epistates in your lungs. Your left, at that point, my left lower lobe was already collapsed. And he's like, this is constrictive bronchiolitis. And I'm like, well, the VA is not going to take that unless you do a biopsy. And he's like, I cannot do a biopsy on you. And I said, why? He says, because it's invasive and because I have more than one chronic condition. He said, they looked at the CT scans from other soldiers. And the patterns that are on my CT scan, my pulmonary function scores, match those of other infantry, the guys that came back from Texas that had the biopsies done. So I took it back to the VA, and I'm like, so what are you going to do with this? You're going to admit you made a mistake, and you're going to treat for that condition? So the VA central office got frustrated, and they said, we don't want to deal with her. So, because she's a, quote, complicated veteran, we're going to give her one point of contact. That one point of contact was supposed to be my go-to person for all VA issues, from healthcare, service connection, everything. But then when this woman came, it was like everything got worse. And she's like, the VA is not going to accept these tests. They don't care what other doctors say. They say you have asthma. That's it, and they're not doing anything else for you. And I'm like, but their opinion is going to cost me my life. And she responded back saying, well, at this point, it's just two doctors interpreting the test results differently. And I thought, they are so dumb. So I didn't know how to respond to that. So another lady that I know, a Miss Veronica Landry, she told me about National Jewish Health. So I received the, a referral, and I went to National Jewish Health. National Jewish Health is like, this is not asthma. They wrote it in a 6-page report, and they wrote that my care has gotten complicated because the VA refused to treat me based on the outcome of my rape case. So they discovered that I have esophageal cancer, and I'm in heart failure now. And so my left and my right lower lobes are completely collapsed, and my trachea is also collapsing, the back part of it. And so on Thursday, I go for surgery to try to correct some of these issues. And I owe it all to the VA.
Sounds like it. You know, did you go see the documentary on the burn pits a couple years ago?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
It's available,
Christina,
now. Let me find it.
Christina, this is Ron. Just a quick question, not to throw you off track here, but you said the VA said you were faking it. Did they come right out and say that?
Yeah, they did. They even wrote it in my medical records stating that my PTSD that they said didn't exist is now causing my symptoms. But
wow.
I have, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I, at this point, I really don't care what they say. I care that the Secretary of Defense, Mr. Epsberg, he was the one who ordered the CID general to unfound making a false statement. He ordered them to do it. And he wrote there was no evidence to indicate I lied about anything. So I'm pretty sure that pissed a bunch of people off. But either way, he was Secretary Wilkie. They said they want to do stuff about burn pits. But in my research, I found that the Department of Defense is not very consistent on anything that they do. They, here recently, I was given a memorandum where OSHA and the Department of the Army, acting with the authority of the Department of Defense, wrote that the military would not be fined or sanctioned or whatever over failure to follow OSHA standards. When I was in Iraq, I was an E3. I was given no face mask, and I pulled human waste, like everything that you could imagine doing on the toilet. That's what I did. I pulled it out with a glove. I put JP-8 on it. I stirred it, and I lit it, and I had to sit there. I had to watch it burn, and then when the fire goes down, you have like a little like squeezy thing, and I will put more on it without burning my face off. And then all that was left was like a brick. And so I used my military shovel to bury it. I did that every single day for like 300 days. And it was two barrels that I had to burn. I had to do one at a time. So then saying, they said, Dr. Karen Clancy said that there is no evidence. Yeah, she's stupid, because the standards that they used were for firefighters in the United States. So I called firefighters all over California, Texas, and Florida, and I asked them, I asked some of them, I said, would you burn human waste with no face mask? They said no. They said it's illegal. In the United States, it's illegal. But that's the standard the VA is using. That's like freaking pathetic, right? So I went online and I found the face mask that military needs. It's called a P100. There are three types of mask, and P can filter the smallest of nanoparticles. Nanoparticles are so small you can't see them. They're in vapor. They're in. And soldiers are inhaling that. And so these last 3M makes them. A whole bunch of people do. And they do bulk ordering. The Department of Defense could do a contract, like a bidding contract. This is what we need. Mm-hmm. This is for how much, and then let these companies bid on it to just provide a face mask so they don't come home dying from cancer, pulmonary hypertension, constrictive bronchiolitis, just liver cancer, stomach cancer, toxic brain injury, some of the munitions that we burned has stearin gas in it. So that face mask is just relatively cheap compared to the money the VA and Department of Defense will put out for healthcare. It's not hard.
If they gave them healthcare. And yes, they do still use burn pits.
Yep.
After all of this research, how many years has this been going on?
A while.
They did in Vietnam, too.
Yes,
yeah,
they did. They used JP-5. So, and then in all of this, the people that are most forgotten are our Gulf War veterans. I was a teenager in 91 when they invaded. And it's like the VA has totally forgot about them. They're not doing anything. The last research paper I just wrote, as of like a few months ago, over 121,000 or so have died. That's equivalent to the 20 suicides you hear about every day. So 20 veterans kill themselves every day. And there are 20 veterans from the first Persian Gulf War that are dying because of the VA. And so I tried to put that in perspective. And it's like, I don't know what Washington's doing. They're not really listening. The VA says that they need more research. But if I'm comparing an elephant in the United States and then comparing an elephant in Africa, I'm going to get two different results. And that's what the VA is doing. They're saying, okay, so the standard is firefighters and incinerator workers. But these workers are covered under OSHA. And then the laws are written in such a way that OSHA isn't even applied to the Department of Defense. All they're doing is just providing mere suggestions. And the Department of Defense could take it or leave it. But they still don't have a face mask.
I can't believe that when I was in to use cleaning chemicals, you were covered from head to toe in safety gear.
What about when you were doing the burn? You had a face mask. What about all the people around you? That's got to be drifting somewhere.
Yeah, no, she didn't have a face mask.
No. All we had was our gas masks that were issued to us for chemical and biological attacks. It's kind of like a one-time use. If you don't put it on in time, you got to stab yourself in the heart with that stupid pin.
Yeah. We've all had to do that.
Yes.
I don't know why.
But the people around you were, did they have any protection, or were they exposed to it as well?
They were exposed to it as well. So, I'm going to try to paint this as a picture. So, these structures, we built them. So, they're wood, you open the door, you sit down, it's wood, and then it's a metal drum.
Uh-huh.
And so, maybe, 5 feet away is where our company slept. We were HHC, which means we were the cooks, the supply, all that kind of stuff. And so it was my tent, then my commander's tent, and then behind me. And then it was the hoss that was in the lot. That's what we call them. And then it was the flight line where we had all of our aircraft, battalion level was a little bit down the way. So we weren't very far from the really big burn pit you hear people keep talking about. So I remember me and my sergeant, he would drive. We were in a 5-ton, and we would have things that our company commander said to go burn. So I remember backing up and hopping in the back of this thing, and smoke everywhere. It's burning your eyes. And we're throwing it. And I had to do that every single week on top of my human waste burning. So nobody had any face masks. But we did have plenty of sandbags for mortar attack. We did do have that. But the really important part, like, even if you take away burning human waste, those sandstorms are vicious. And so the soldiers that are deployed, they're getting ready to run into them in the next couple of months. The sandstorms have dust. The dust in it can be inhaled in the lungs. And so something as simple as a face mask would correct that. But the Department of Defense, they're just like, they're stalling. They're not doing anything. So when I went to Mayo Clinic, they did a military protocol. The military protocol said we're going to test for these diseases because she was deployed to the blood. And so when they did my blood work, they found that I have antibodies to something called, I don't even know if I'm saying this right, coccomelitis. It's the same thing as valley fever. But the problem is, mm-hmm. is I've never been to the states that actually had that. So let's see here. Since some parts of Texas, Arizona, some parts of California. Yeah. So, but when I went online and I researched about this thing, it is very, very common in Iraq, Kuwait, Afghanistan, the UAE, Saudi Arabia, Iran. And this little thing is attached to the dust that soldiers are breathing. So that's a problem. A very big problem.
So you're having surgery next week?
No, this Thursday.
Oh, this Thursday. And what do they hope to fix?
Let's see here. My stomach, a biopsy, and they're going to put a probe on the inside of my neck.
And that's the Mayo Clinic?
No, these are civilian providers here in Orlando. I kicked Orlando off, Orlando VA. And I was taking their advice. The man who was seeing me, he is a section chief for pulmonary. And he's like, I've done extensive research on constrictive bronchiolitis. You should go look it up. So I listened to him and I went and I looked it up. And this man listed his phone number publicly. And so I thought, okay. So I took a screenshot. And when I came back from National Jewish Health, my point of contact, Dr. Linda Indris, she's like, send me the records. She said, because at this point, I think we need to get cardiology involved. But cardiology said that last year, actually in December, that I'm healthy and that I have no problems. And they wrote this in a letter to me. So they told me if I had pulmonary hypertension, it was mild and it wouldn't go any further than that and that I would be fine. And I believed them.
Right.
So I sent Dr. Indris all the records, the testing that showed the collapsed trachea, the esophageal thickening with the cancer, when they took the scope and looked, the stomach flap, just like some sort of flap, it's not closing properly. They said that, so it just had all of that stuff in there, and I'm like, what are they going to do? Are they going to admit their error and start treating me properly? So this was before the hurricane came, and it nothing really came, but they were saying we're going to have a hurricane. And so she said, to get this, like a week went by, and I didn't hear it. So I called my doctor interest, and I'm like, when are they going to admit that they made a mistake treating me properly? So she didn't answer. And so I texted this doctor. I call him Dr. Raja. I can't pronounce his whole name. And
right.
I'm sorry. I mean no disrespect, okay, but.
No, all of my doctors have names like that.
Yeah, so I just make something close enough that
names
I can actually.
Yes.
Okay, that's pretty funny. I've been called worse. So I didn't know it was his personal cell phone. And I texted him, and I'm crap. I was like, hey, when are you going to get back with me? And so I'm on Twitter, and I'm taking screenshots of my records, and I'm like, they're freaking lies. They're trying to kill me. You know, they hate veterans and blah, blah, blah. And so I guess it got the attention of the chief of staff there and the VA police also.
Well,
and I was, yeah, so we're all crazy if we want help, right? And
right.
So I'm at home. I'm not bothering anybody. And I get a call, and it's the Orlando VA. So I click answer, and I hear Dr. Raja in the background saying, she looked me up. She looked up my personal cell phone number, and she texted me, and she called me. And you can hear the gasps, like, oh, I can't believe she did that, going all through the office. And, like, after he said that, I'm like, hello? Ah, Miss Dunderbell. Yes, yes, oh, we need to talk. I'm like, yeah, okay, so what are you going to say about my records? So then he went in and said, well, I think it's inappropriate for you to be calling me on my personal cell phone. I'm like, okay. Like, how in the heck did I even know it was his personal cell phone? And he was advertising on ResearchGate saying, I am the chief of pulmonary, and I am also an assistant professor at Florida University or something like that. I am looking for studies. Reach out to me. And he lists his personal cell number.
Who does that?
Exactly.
You should have told him to kiss your ruby ass red ass there, I tell you. You know, that's just, he puts his own phone number out there and then pulls that crap.
And I really had no idea because, like all VAs across the country, if it's pulmonary, neurology, cancer, whatever, the section chiefs have cell phones that are issued to them by the Department of Veterans Affairs. So I really, truly had no idea. And so
he
has me on speaker. Okay. So there's no privacy at the VA whatsoever. And then he's like, I said, so what about my records? So I have an email from Dr. Indris that said that she spoke to this man and that he told her that he received the records, and then he's looking at them. So on the phone call, though, from his office that he had me on speaker, he said that Dr. Indris never gave him anything, that all that he's seen is screenshots. So wait a minute. So you're calling me out for violating your privacy, but then you've seen the screenshots of all your mistakes. So I'm like, I said, Dr. Indra said that she gave you the records. Yeah, they're not scanning Vista, like Vista A, the computer system.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, but so National Jewish Health said that my lungs are failing. And I said, I have constrictive bronchiolitis. And I said, you guys told me that the pulmonary hypertension was mild. I said, but it's now severe. I said, so the left side of my heart is severely enlarged, and now my right side is affected. I said the atrial fibrillation that you guys told me not to worry about has made the pulmonary hypertension worse. I said, so what do you have to say all that? He says, well, I'm not the heart people. What? Pulmonary hypertension is a lung issue, you retard. Like, oh,
right.
My gosh. So then I got an email from Dr. Indris. I was accused of being a stalker, harassment, because this stupid prick said that I looked up his phone number. I can look up his address, too, but that has nothing to do with it. I really didn't mean to. And so She wrote me an email saying, you know, he's not on your care team anymore. So I'm like, I went to the privacy office and I'm like, where's my records? This guy says he doesn't have them, but Indra says that she faxed them over. What is he doing with my records? So I went and I asked for my sensitive access patient report. Even though this guy is not my doctor, he's still looking in my stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, this is Ivan here. We're running out of time here. I've got a question I want to ask. Through all the stuff that you've gone through, and obviously many other people have too, you know, having to do with the, you know, burn pit illnesses and all that, is there any changes in policy that's been made or any that's coming up that you're aware of? Can you speak to those issues?
Yes. So the Burn Pit Accountability Act would require the Department of Defense to start monitoring things now. They already had that policy in place, but they're not really following it. It boils down to the chain of command. Like, Secretary Esper is not on the ground. He's not in Syria or Afghanistan, so he's not seeing what exactly is happening. Burn pits are still being used. If there are soldiers that are deployed that might listen to this, I would encourage you just to go to a computer lab and look up.
Okay, well, hold on. I have a question. You say burn pits are still being used. You're saying that in the context of, like, they shouldn't be. They should be disposing of waste differently. Am I understanding
yes.
this correctly? Or okay.
Yes, you are.
So how is it they're supposed to dispose of it instead of burning it?
Incinerators.
Okay, so they're supposed to bring incinerators on site there where
yes.
people are deployed. But they're not doing
yeah.
that. They're just using the same old way of getting rid of it, burn pits. Is that what you're saying?
That is what I'm saying. And I'm saying that they should be tagging stuff. Like jet fuel, when they're using it to burn, the containers are not labeled, so people don't know. And another thing is that environmental factors, and when you take biomedical waste, that should be handled
right.
totally in a different way. But they're throwing it all together, burning it together.
Well, I'll guarantee you one thing. If I was over there, they'd probably do well in tagging my shit. And I'll tell you that right now. And so all of the... what you're saying then is everything has been changed. Everything's supposed to be accounted for, what it is, incinerated, not just thrown in a big pit and burned.
Yes, sir. That's what I'm saying.
And how long ago did this go into effect?
Nineteen eighty. Yeah. There was a policy and a law made, but the Department of Defense hasn't complied with it.
Okay, well, is anything now with all these illnesses coming up, yours included, since this has been around since, 1980. That's something.
They updated the policy in 1998, and it even told the doctors, you need to screen, you need to treat based on occupation and based on personal exposure. They're not doing that. Because if they were, then the VA would say some bullcrap line that they're saying.
Is it just a bunch of individuals like yourself that are doing what you can to, you know, make people aware and try to get things changed, or is there an actual organization out there that, you know, I know there was a movie done. We had the gentleman on the show that did the movie, you know, about a year ago, you know, regarding burn pits. But is there an actual organization out there that, you know, is working regarding this issue having to do with Congress or DOD or anyone like that?
Yeah, so Burn Pits 360, they're doing quite a bit. Veteran Warriors, she is also doing it. She's also sick. Mr. Torres is also sick. He was also deployed to Iraq, but in 2005-2006. So let's see here. IAVA, they put forth a bill that I did the Burn Pit Presser for, Burn Pit Accountability Act, trying to get the VA to do presumption list and just get some basic
protection for our
soldiers.
Well, does it look like any headway is being made here? You know, number one, you got to treat the people that are ill here. Then they got to stop doing things the old way, out in the field. So everything that's being done, nothing is changing whatsoever.
No, it's just like with Agent Orange. And it's like the same playbook. They say it's in your head, you're crazy. But civilian doctors totally disagree. There's other soldiers that were deployed, and their country recognizes their illness. So the United States is the only one that's acting like this.
I'm curious, when you were over there, there were and this may sound like an odd question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. U.S. wasn't the only country there. You had, other countries, allies of ours that were deployed there. How did they get rid of their waste?
I don't know. But I know one country, they had 500 soldiers deployed to Afghanistan. Their soldiers were complaining of the same symptoms as us. So Sweden went in. For 14 days straight, they took samples in the fall of 2009, and they discovered the amulet particulate matter that was making the soldiers sick. So those 500 soldiers have gotten health care for life. They also get a stipend every month, and they were offered a settlement. So
from their country.
That's, yes. And so Britain, UK, they did that also. When I looked at the soldiers, so we had UK there, we had Australia there and Sweden. They're taking care of their soldiers, their veterans. The United States is the only one that are acting like jerks about this. It's like they're trying to protect the institution from veterans that they're supposed to be serving.
Hmm.
This is not hard.
All right. But we're about out of time here, Christina. Is there anything that we haven't covered, anything you haven't said that you want to get out there?
Think about my family. The Department of Veterans Affairs said that I'm not dying. The civilian doctors, Vanderbilt, National Jewish Health, everybody else says that I am. So I would just like to encourage veterans and service members, listen to your body. And if you're still deployed, you really do need to get a face mask. Don't wait for the Department of Defense.
Face mask, the kind that would help you in the situation you went through is readily available by the general public. They can purchase them themselves.
Yes. Yes, I looked it up, and I contacted.
It's really sad that our government, they're not providing that. Number one, they shouldn't even be using, or getting rid of the waste that way, let alone providing. So if they're going to continue to do something they shouldn't do, to provide a piece of equipment that would, the whole thing's crazy. It's nuts. Just like hundreds of other things we hear going on in the VA. It just don't make sense.
No, it doesn't. It's not their life, and they don't have to go to the VA for health care. They get private insurance paid for with taxpayer dollars. So what difference does it
right.
make to them? They're not affected, so they don't care.
Right.
Thank you for having me.
Okay,
I really
Christina.
Do appreciate it.
Yeah, we're about out of time here. I want to thank you for coming on. Just a horrible story. It really is. And it's really, it's pure sadness that our government won't stand up to the contract that they made with the veterans. They said when they swore you in, you know, they'll take care of you. And they're not.
Most definitely.
Well, Christina, thanks for coming on. Keep us dialed in as to what's going on, you know, in the best 2 year in your operation here coming up and all of that. But please keep us dialed in. And, you know, especially, you know, if you hear anything of any major advancements going on as far as VA finally starting to get this problem corrected on treating, you know, people that have been affected, you know, regarding the burn pit illnesses, you know, please let us know. Because we'd like to keep everyone informed out there. All righty?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Christina. I'm going to stick you in the blue room here where you can hear us. And she's in the blue room now. So, wow. What did she say? Since 1980? Is that what she said? That they were supposed to be incinerating? But all they're doing is burning?
Yep.
So just, again, one more thing, that it really doesn't matter if policies are changed or what the law is. They'll just do what they want to do, period.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Pretty much.
All right. Any final comments, Rhonda? And then over to you, Ron.
No, I have nothing. I mean, this has got so much press and absolutely nothing has changed.
Yeah, I really
and
thought
Christina,
when that movie came out, you know, about a year ago, I really thought maybe something might start happening then, but apparently not.
It doesn't. I just looked to see if it's still out, and it is. It's out on Amazon. So I did tag you in the post, Christina. I would suggest watching that. It was a really good documentary. That's all I got.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on, Christina. Good luck with your surgery. I hope it goes well. I do have a quotable quote for tonight. It comes from William James. Act as if what you do makes a difference. It does.
That's a good one.
Yep.
Yes, it is.
You all have a good
day.
I want to
thank everybody for coming on and listening. This is the Buchanan Report Radio Show, November 19th, 2019. See y'all next week.
Good night.